Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Sometimes we all overlook what we have and don't realize it until it is too late. Why that happens varies from person to person and situation to situation. Sometimes we presume just because we have always had something, we will always have that. Sometimes we forget about the ever-changing world around us, and that change isn't always for the better. People come and go from our lives, and sadly, people die. Do we value who and what we have in our life? Take, for example, if you were born with seemingly everything, were incredibly wise, and considered to be the perfection of beauty. Could you even consider that one day all of that could be taken away? Would you allow those circumstances to cause you to think more highly of yourself? That is pretty much what happened to Satan. When created, Lucifer was created with both intelligence and looks, to the point that Lucifer was considered perfect in beauty. Lucifer was decked out with the widest variety of precious stones and given a place of prominence at the throne of God. Lucifer was the embodiment of perfection until iniquity was found in him. All that Lucifer had, instead of adding greater dimensions to perfection and intelligence, became the seed of violence and sin. Instead of looking to his Creator, Lucifer looked to what his Creator had given him and concluded that he had arrived. In his mind, Lucifer was an A-lister, having status and all from what God had given him. The incredible intelligence and wisdom that he had became corrupt to the point that all Lucifer would become would be less than common. Lucifer looked to what his Creator had given him and somehow overlooked that what he had come from God. Instead of gratitude for what he had been given by God, Lucifer's ego swelled, and that swelled ego led to the problems that we know in the world today. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Lucifer thought very highly of himself for what he had been given, but didn't value that what he had been given was a gift from God. What we have been given from God may not be the sum of wisdom and the perfection of beauty, but we have all benefited from God's kindness. And unlike Satan, we cannot deceive ourselves. We must value what we have been given by God. One of the things we have been given is the faith we have, and with that faith comes an expectation that we do certain things with it, broadly summed up in doing God would expect of us. While we might find others in this world who have had that same belief, chances are we will find many more who, instead of doing what God would expect of them, will do whatever they want to do. They might completely abandon what is expected or pick and choose from what is expected. But we must be like Joshua, who was told by God not only to be strong and very courageous, but was told to be strong and very courageous to observe and do what was expected of him according to the law. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Do we value what God expects of us, or do we place greater value on what society expects of us? We cannot allow anything to come between God and us, and if God expects something of us, we must do what is expected. With the calling we have been given, it is almost like we have been given a spiritual birthright to be spirit at the return of Jesus Christ. We cannot be like Esau, who despised his birthright by selling it as if it were common. What we have been given spiritually by God is of such great value, we cannot treat it as if it is common. Esau and Jacob were described in such a way that today we would call them fraternal twins. And because Esau was born first, he had the birthright. The vastness of Abraham's and Isaac's wealth would be given to him as the oldest. Jacob, born just minutes after Esau, would get much, much less, and according to tradition, should have become a footnote to history. Esau, however, didn't value his birthright. One day, after hunting, Esau was hungry and was talked into selling his birthright for a bowl of soup. Imagine trading the wealth of the richest person you can think of for a bowl of soup. That is how little Esau valued his birthright. Genesis 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his ways. Thus Esau despised his birthright. In store for us is the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is of greater value than anything we could ever possibly find here on earth, and should be worth more to us than the total of all our wealth. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Unlike Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, we would never trade our place in the kingdom of God for anything here on earth. There is nothing that we have, will have in the future, or have had in the past that compares to the gift of eternal life in the kingdom of God. When the angels came to Lot and helped his family to leave Sodom, they were offering Lot and his family something much better than what they had. As they were leaving, his wife looked back to Sodom and became a pillar of salt. Genesis 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon his hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, And it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Lot's wife looked back to what she had, not what was before her. Before each of us is in the kingdom of God, and when considering between the two, we must spiritually look forward to the kingdom of God, not looking back to this world in which we live. We can't escape the world in which we live, but we cannot favor it over the kingdom of God. If we do, we are unfit for the kingdom of God. Jesus taught this concept to his disciples. One person told Jesus as he was walking by that he would follow him. And Jesus reminded this person of the transitory nature of his ministry, going as far to tell him there was no permanent home for the Son of Man. Jesus asked another person to follow him, and that person told Jesus he first needed to bury his father, which seems reasonable until we consider this man was told to let the dead bury the dead, and that he should preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Another told Jesus that he would also follow him, but first needed to say goodbye to his family. Jesus told this person that those who seek to be part of the work of God and then draw back to this world are not fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We must value the kingdom of God more than the people in our life. That might seem counterintuitive to most people, but we must value that which is spiritual, that leads to eternal life, over that which is physical. James reminds us of the constant battle that we have on this side of eternity between that which is spiritual and that which is physical. Within that battle, we must value what is spiritual as the spiritual leads to eternal life. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul tells us we have the excellency of the Holy Spirit while still living in mortal bodies, so that we do not become puffed up. With all the challenges life throws our way, we never allow ourselves to be stressed and without hope, because through Jesus Christ, we have great hope. With that great hope is great value. We should greatly value the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is our key to immortality. Because we value the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also value what is spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and I therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to value the redemption we have through Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, we see imagery of the redemption of Israel, with God explaining that when Israel passes through waters, he will be there as much as he will be with people walking through flames. God adds that many nations were ransomed for the deliverance of Israel, and that with God, there is no reason to fear. Through God, we have all been created to bring glory to God. Because God is therefore his people, we must value being the spiritual people of God today, the church. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been made honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. In the letter to the churches in Revelation, the church at Ephesus was reminded to rekindle the first love that they had for the faith. The Ephesians didn't value the faith as they first did. It became common to them, like everything else that was in their lives. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We cannot treat the faith as if it is something common. The faith that we have will lead us to eternal life, and the kingdom of God is of incredible, great value to us. We must remain firmly committed to the faith, never allowing it to weaken in our sight. We can value God's response to our life, especially when we face challenging circumstances. We know that when we cry out to God, our concerns will be heard. When evil people seek to bring harm to us, we know that God will protect us from these evil people. What sets the wicked apart from the righteous? The righteous value what God has done for them, but the wicked live their lives without valuing what God has done for them. In the face of wicked people, we know that God will be both our strength and shield. Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. If thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward the holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is our strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. What we have been given by God physically is not as important as what we have been given spiritually. But what we have been given physically by God is still something to be valued. If we value what we physically have, we will know our financial status so that within our family, needs will be met. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. If we value God in Jesus Christ, we will live by what Jesus taught in Matthew, knowing we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we must love other people as ourselves. These two great commandments embody the commonality throughout the Ten Commandments. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and loving others as ourselves will lead us to value our own spiritual growth. As we grow spiritually, we become less concerned with the sins of others and more with our own sins. Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. As we grow spiritually, we will value the words that come out of our mouth, knowing that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and what we say should lead to righteousness. Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. If we value Jesus Christ, we will do what he says, giving us a strong spiritual foundation. If all we do is hear what Jesus says, we will have a very weak spiritual foundation. And that spiritual foundation is important because when we are spiritually tested, we want to emerge standing on the other side. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We must value the kingdom of God and God's righteousness more than what we can find on earth. What we value more tells where our heart is. Do we value more what is spiritual or what is physical? Do we open our eyes to what is spiritual, or do we keep our eyes focused on what is physical? We cannot be equally focused on what is spiritual and what is physical. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold of the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Knowing we are to value more what is spiritual, what is physical in our life will be of lesser importance. That doesn't mean we will ignore the physical limitations and needs of our human bodies, but it will mean we are much more focused on what is spiritual. Our focus on the physical things of life will change. No longer will we be primarily focused on the things we have. Instead, we will be focused on spiritual growth and development, knowing that God will give us what we need physically for that spiritual growth and development. What we are to seek first is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And naturally, when we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness first, that means what we need physically is always second place to that, knowing God will provide our needs. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But ye seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When it comes to the relationships we have on earth, we must value our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ more than any person. We will still love those of importance in our lives, but we will love God and Jesus Christ more. We can never allow a relationship on earth to be of greater importance than our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. If we value God, we will not mock God. We will not be Christians in name only. We will be Christians through how we live our lives. We must choose to live our lives focused on the spiritual more than the physical, seeking to grow spiritually so that we can have eternal life. As we are living this spiritually focused life, we continue to do good, even when times are hard for us, knowing that one day we will be given eternal life. For the here and now, we remain focused on doing good to all people. and especially to the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Lucifer was the embodiment of perfection, and instead of valuing what he had been given, became focused on who he was. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, having eternal life, there are many things we must do. And we must value what we have been spiritually given by God, never forgetting that what is spiritual is of much greater value than what is physical, as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.